Richardson, the running back. They give it to him over the right side. Dives. He's in. Touchdown. Trent Richardson.
Weaver looking right corner of the end zone. Throws. Touchdown. Jordan Cameron. What a beautiful throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Weaver to throw. He's going to go long. Looking long for Gordon. He's out there. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown. No doubt about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Very happy to be joining you from Westlake, from the PNC Bank on Crocker Road. And we are here as part of a big day, which is Paint the Browns. Paint the town Browns and paint it Browns all the way around throughout Northeast Ohio. But we're doing it here, real big setup in the parking lot on a beautiful day, a glorious day. And my partner and my buddy, Nathan Zagora, back in Berea holding things down. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. And you should see this office. And I'm sure you were in here today and saw balloons everywhere, yeah. Streamers, brown and orange. They are literally painting the town Browns right here in the office in Berea. So it's awesome. There's a lot of excitement. Just ran into Phil Taylor in the hall. He said he's ready. Can't wait to get out there. We are just 2 days away now from the Cleveland Browns taking on the Miami Dolphins at First Energy Stadium. And I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah, fired up. 2 days away. We get this thing kicked off. 1 p.m. First Energy Stadium, Browns Dolphins. And you're right. I was in the building earlier today. Everyone decked out in Browns wear. The building with all kinds of it had that collegiate high school Friday feel, which I love.
I love it.
I miss dearly from those days about 100 years ago when I was in high school. It was always fun to be there and have that feeling of of getting ready for the big game, and it doesn't get much bigger than this. Of course, the NFL season kicked off last night. We got a glimpse of the Baltimore Ravens. Man, are they going to be upset in week number two? That's all that kept going through my mind, Nathan. I wanted to look at it and say, okay, this is a good thing that they're, they got hurt and they could be limited. They've got vulnerability galore, and the Broncos ripped through them. I'm thinking of how the Browns are going to do the same thing to them in week number two, a week from Sunday. But then I also got thinking that's their home opener, and they're a mad team right now.
Well, they just gave up seven, an NFL record, yeah. Seven passing touchdowns to Peyton Manning because the Baltimore Orioles would not allow them to play at home as the defending Super Bowl champion should. So, yeah, I think they are going to be a little bit angry. But I'll tell you what, there are things to take away from this game. Number one, if the injury to Michael O'Hare could keep him out, they have issues right now, it looked like, on the offensive line a little bit. They have huge issues in the passing game. I mean, outside of Torrey Smith, they've got absolutely nobody. I will say I did like Marlon Brown. I thought he looked pretty good for them. Yeah. Four catches, 65 yards and a touchdown. Good size. But the biggest thing, and we talked about this on the show, Dennis Pitta was huge for Joe Flacco last year. You want to talk about a guy who was a security blanket, a guy he went to in the red zone repeatedly, a guy who he could trust to make tough catches. And I think we saw last night, you look at Joe Flacco and you say, okay, Dennis Pitta, that was your guy. Anquan Boldin, that was your other guy. Pitta caught 65% of the passes thrown his way. Yes, Dallas Clark, if you just look at the stats, 7 for 87, you're like, oh, he replaced him nicely. Dallas Clark and Ed Dixon combined to catch 8 of their 17 targets last night. That's under 50%. They dropped multiple easy passes, including a touchdown by Dallas Clark. They don't have anything close to what Dennis Pitta has, and it puts pressure on their ground game, and they struggled to open up running lanes with the offensive line. I was surprised about that. 58 yards on 21 carries for Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce. So this Ravens team, the other thing that it does, though, while it may make them angry, it eliminates, in my opinion, some of their aura and mystique as defending Super Bowl champions. And I think it has to buoy the confidence of the Browns that, hey, this team certainly can be beaten because they just got destroyed on national TV. And it should have been worse if that guy didn't drop the ball before he walked into the end zone.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely even a bigger beatdown than the score indicated. I'm not going to go with the idea that the aura disappears. In fact, I think it reappears in a big way a week from Sunday when they have their home opener, because they've got a lot to certainly prove. I thought that game reflected. You started off saying the thing that a lot of people have said, that they were a discombobulated team largely because that game wasn't played at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, that they were forced to go on the road, forced not only to be in an away stadium, but one that is 5,000-plus feet above sea level, and that whole altitude thing clearly was an issue. It's an issue for every opponent that plays there. They look gassed. The Broncos ran the perfect offensive scheme, quick-paced. I mean, I've never seen – I've seen Peyton Manning. I've watched Peyton Manning play, you know, hundreds of games. I've watched his career very closely. But I don't know that I've ever seen him run an offense as fast as he ran that one. I think it has a lot to do with the people around him. But they kept the pedal to the metal the whole way, and the Ravens could not keep up. He saw him wearing down, and they kept it going and going and going. And, you know, that's something to take from that if you're the Browns or any future Ravens opponent. You try to do the same thing. But, hey, not everybody is going to run an offense the way Peyton Manning runs an offense. Let's face that. It's hard to duplicate that. He's a master at that. But he did a great job of that. I thought by halftime they were such a defeated team that they did not just wage the fight and lost their fight because of, again, a lot of reasons, all of which could change quickly for them with a long time to, you know, to ponder this game, to stew on it, to recover, to rest, and they're going to be playing at home. So I'm not going to take a thing away from them, but here's the best part. They're 0-1. The Browns now have a chance to be ahead of them and whoever else might lose in this division, but certainly one team they can be better than by beating the Dolphins Sunday.
And there's no doubt about that. I'm not writing off the Baltimore Ravens after one game. That would be foolish. But, you know, you say they gave up at halftime. They were winning at halftime, 17-14, and they kicked a field goal 7 seconds
left. I'm talking about
their
defense was worn down. I saw a loss of fight in their D. That's what I –
The good news about it, though, I think the Browns, while, yes, they will be angry about that game, they're catching them early. And I know that we think overall the talent they have on defense has the opportunity to be better this year than it was last year because you get rid of guys like Ed Reed and Ray Lewis who are maybe declining in their skill sets. But replacing their minds is difficult. And I thought you saw many instances where they did look a little out of sorts. They have not quite gelled as a defensive unit yet. Right. So for the Browns to be able to get them this early in the season, I actually think is beneficial because I think as you get to the middle of the season, this Ravens defense is going to be playing at a much higher level.
Great point. You're right about that. The communication thing, I think, was an issue. And for those who want to discount and say it doesn't matter that you lose Ray Lewis after a season where he barely played 2012 season on the way to the Super Bowl, you know what, Nathan?
It matters.
It's a different aura. It's a different chemistry on that team now, right? I mean, they've got to be missing that presence, and they've got to be missing the presence of Ed Reed. Those were two dominant figures in the locker room, and one thing I felt from the point that both of those players were done, we knew Lewis was going to retire, and then Ed Reed leaves for Houston in free agency, I said that locker room dynamic is going to be so different.
Totally. And who is the defining leader on that defense right now? There really isn't necessarily a guy that you're singling out and saying that's the defining leader, whereas in the past, and I'm sure it's Terrell Suggs, but he still plays at the line of scrimmage. So when you're talking about guys on the back end, Ed Reed in the middle, the quarterback really of the defense, the middle linebacker in Ray Lewis, also Danelle Ellerbe gone from the middle of that defense, and the Browns will see him this Sunday on the Miami Dolphins. But yeah, there are some issues. Do I think that the Baltimore Ravens will rectify them as the season goes on? Absolutely. But this is a team that I think if the Browns can jump up on, and again, we got to talk about Miami more, it is a team, though, that I think is going to struggle. And you saw, if they become one-dimensional as a throwing football team, they have problems.
Yeah, I think they do. And again, we've got to do the, you know, I hate to use that phrase, one game at a time thing, but it's natural to go where we're going here because that was the story right now. That is the story of the National Football League. That game last night, again, amazing. Peyton Manning, 7 touchdown passes. But we like the fact that Jacoby Jones, and I don't wish harm on anybody, but he's hurting. MRI is going to check out what his injury is all about. Michael Orr, you mentioned him, the right tackle, sprained an ankle. Didn't return after doing that in the first half. And then they had a rookie, Rick Wagner, trying to take over there, and it was rough.
Ugly.
But let's see what happens again. First things first, Sunday, Browns,
yes.
Dolphins. And by the way, this is a call your shot Friday. You got to call us up at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. 0850. You tweet us at Browns_daily, or you tweet me at VICCARUCCI, or Nathan Zagura at NathanZegura. Hit us with your tweets. Hit us with your comments or questions. We will get those on the air. Felix Wright, former Browns defensive back, is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour, about 20 minutes from now. He will be here on site. We are at the PNC Bank on Crocker Road in Westlake. A beautiful day, a beautiful kickoff to the Paint the Town Browns. And, oh, man, a bus just pulls up here with all decked out in Browns. Nice big picture of Joe Hayden and fans. I'm sitting at this drop. There's interactive stuff going on here. Food available for people stopping by. And it's a fun time. So come on out and join us here in Crocker Park. Chomps will be around as well. So a beautiful day and a beautiful way to kick off the Browns' start to their season here in Crocker Park. Also going to hear from Bernie Kosar. He'll be on the line with us at about 2 p.m. We'll talk with Bernie and get his thoughts as we set things up for Sunday as well. And then Paul Clark, the head honcho, PNC Bank. Yeah, the big guy is going to head over here, maybe ask him for a loan or something. I don't know. When a guy like that shows up, you feel like, you know, you got to do something. And he is, I've gotten to know Paul through the years. He's as regular a guy as possible, but you think of the power of that guy running this big PNC Bank. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool to have some, and he's a big football fan.
Very cool, and it's a big show as it should be. Go out there, everybody, hang out with Vic, check him out, and I can't wait. We're going to go through the schedule today. We're going to do our first schedule game by game, week by week predictions for the Cleveland Browns here in 2013, so that's going to be a lot of fun. So lots of good stuff here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, but we want to be sure we hear from you again, 216-578-0850. Call your shot or tweet us at Browns_daily.
We're going to hear also Jameer Howerton had a chance to sit down with Jordan Cameron, Browns tight end. So during the course of the show, we'll run that interview for you, and then we'll talk about it as well, because another key figure, you know, you brought up the fact that the Ravens are not the same offense without Dennis Pitta. We suspected that all along. They lost those sure hands. They lose a guy who gets open. Joe Flacco loses a guy. His partner, his go-to man is no longer in that lineup, and the effect of that showed last night. I think Brandon Whedon, and we've talked about this, but we'll keep talking about it, and I hope we're talking about it in this way, that his go-to guy becomes Jordan Cameron in a huge way.
Absolutely. I'd love to see that. You know, I think he's very important. We've talked all offseason long about what the tight end does in the Rob Chudzinski, Norv Turner offense, and we're going to get to see that unleashed. And I think with Josh Gordon out, it is imperative that he gets off to a good start.
Yeah, it's huge. And I think, again, for the sake of Brandon Whedon's game and development, it would be massive to know that he's got that guy that he can depend on. He was developing really a good chemistry last year with Ben Watson. He was finding him. That Dallas game was the statement game where he was connecting with Watson in the end zone for those two big touchdown catches that gave the Browns a chance. A game I still, you know, you kick yourself. You know they should have won it. But anyway, that's the relationship he develops now, and I think it's a better one with Jordan Cameron, because Jordan, a younger guy, a better athlete right now at this stage of his career, and maybe at any stage of his career compared with Watson and a lot of other tight ends, a guy that you could see in the back of the end zone, a guy who, when you're going through these first two games without Josh Gordon, has to be a huge element for this offense.
Has to be, and when you look at tight ends last year against this Miami Dolphins team, tight ends that were heavily involved, the Texans, they targeted their tight ends 10 times in week one, 5 catches for 104 yards. The Raiders, 13 targets their tight ends, 7 catches, 117 yards. When the Jets targeted their tight ends 12 times, 7 catches, 67 yards. The Colts, 8 times, 6 catches, 75 yards. And, of course, the Patriots, 14 targets, 8 catches, 97 yards against this team. So when you get the team and get a tight end involved against this Miami Dolphins team, and I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to see 8 or more targets for Jordan Cameron in this game, I think that he's going to have a very, very, very successful game.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. This Dolphin team has some issues in its secondary, and we'll break down some of the matchups as we go through the show, but that's one place where I think the Browns can exploit them, because they went through, they worked into free agency and tried to fill some holes, but this is a team that took out its top three corners from last year and said, we got to start this thing over, and they did. And when you do that, you know, for the same reasons that we talk about the Ravens and their defensive struggles, a lot of times, you know, you really don't know from the first game if the changes you make on defense, those could all ultimately pan out well for the Ravens and certainly for the Dolphins as well. But I think there's a communications thing, Nathan, that goes on. I think guys have to get used to playing with one another and understand one another. And by the way, that's true with the Browns defense as well, which has new faces, new people, new coaches.
Certainly, and that's one of the reasons why I'm happy that the Browns are going to get the Ravens so early on the schedules. We saw they had some of those breakdowns, but I think for this Cleveland Browns team, you're right, there are some new faces here, and interestingly enough, the captains were just named. One of the new faces is a captain, Quentin Groves, a special teams captain, DeQuell Jackson on defense, Joe Thomas on offense. But yeah, you're excited to see what Ray Horton can do unleashing this pass rushing. They will not be having the services of Barkevious Mingo. He has been ruled out for week number one against the Miami Dolphins, so it will be Jabal Sheard, it will be Paul Kruger, Quentin Groves, and obviously the big guys up front, Desmond Bryant, Ataba Rubin, Billy Wynn, Phil Taylor, getting after the quarterback here. But I think this is it. Ray Horton's excited about it. I know he's talking about just how excited he is to get out there and unleash this defense, and it's a great matchup against a team with a suspect offensive line right now.
It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I am Vic Carucci, and I'm here at the PNC Bank on Crocker Road in Westlake. Nathan Zagura, my partner, back in Berea, which is all decked out for Paint the Town Browns Friday. Again, it's Call Your Shot Friday on this show. Call 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850 with your questions or your comments on the Browns as we get closer, 2 days away from the start of the season. Tweet us as well at Browns_Daily. Just getting this thing started, and much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.